I'm Michael Foster, and you're listening to It's Good to Be a Man, the podcast where we are extending God's house and father rule by helping men to establish their own houses in strength, workmanship, and wisdom. This is a special episode. I got permission from 21 Studios to republish my interview with George Bruno for the 21 Report. So, without further ado...
George Bruno with the 21 Report. We are at the 21 Summit in Orlando, Florida. The year is 2020. And I'm welcoming to the show Mr. Michael Foster. Welcome.
It's good to be here, George.
Yeah. Well, you were on two stages this weekend. You were talking to the Patriarchs, the Fathers Convention, and you spoke to women at the 22 Convention, Make Women Great Again. Give me a little rundown of what you said to both stages.
They were really similar. The heart of them are the same. With the men, I just wanted to encourage them to be fathers, to see that the problems in our world is fatherlessness. That's where most of them spring from. That's a satanic sort of evil pressure to destroy men and to rise up against it and to be the men that we need. I like to say that if men will be fathers, boys will be men, and the world needs men. And more or less, I was exhorting women to do the same thing, to not believe the lies of feminism that says to be a mother and a housewife is somehow demeaning or below you, but it's actually one of the highest callings you could ever have.
Yeah.
And to exhort them to embrace motherhood. And in both cases, with some of the people there, they're later in life, and the idea of having kids is hard. So to mother or father where you're at, right? The people around you, start there, work your way out. So that was the gist of it.
When I look at the messages of the different speakers over the weekend, you have Jesse Lee Peterson, Rebuilding the Man. You have Steve the Dean Williams. There's a difference between a man in the house and being the man of the house. Coach Everett Overton says it all begins and starts with the man. There's a lot of that man-centric teaching going on. It's like bringing authority, power, and order back to the family again.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's great. It's all been encouraging, and that's what we need. It all starts with men. You have to have a cornerstone. That's the cornerstone of the building, that is the household. And it's not just men. That's what I like about this, is that it's not just centered on, you know, we don't want to like overreact to feminism and then hate women. That's not it. This is about men getting their act together, doing what they're made to do, and finding a wonderful helpmate to build something that lasts beyond their life. And that's been the message I've heard over and over again. It's been very overwhelmingly positive. Everyone has different takes here and there, but for the most part, you know, it's like with cologne. You get the initial spray and you smell that. And then after that goes away, there's the smell that sticks with you. Mm-hmm. So if the 21 Summit was a cologne, the thing that lasts, the lasting scent, is very positive, overwhelmingly positive, and it's pretty shocking, to be honest, for someone who's never been here before.
Yeah.
And who's a Christian, and a lot of folks here aren't Christians. We have some significant theological differences, but the direction from a cultural standpoint is very encouraging. So, yes.
Yeah. Your organization, ministry, I don't know what you call it. It's called It's Good to Be a Man.
Yep. Yeah, so It's Good to Be a Man. Several years ago, I was getting back into shape and I was jogging, and my jog would always end at the Goodman's house. So I was like, yeah, every time I got there, I thought, it is good to be a man. And I was just thinking of Genesis, where it says that God made a man in his image, male and female, he created them, and then ... it was good, right? And in our society, there is not the good type of shame. Like when you step on a nail, your body says, ow, right? Mm-hmm. And when you sin, you should feel guilt. That's a sort of shame of the soul. Mm-hmm. But we're making people feel ashamed for men for being masculine, women for being feminine. That's evil. So to have a positive message just to say, yeah, God made you to be a man. Embrace it, love it. This is your God-ordained, assigned sex from all of eternity, and it's what you should be. And so don't feel ashamed for being what God made you.
femininity looks great on a woman. It looks horrible on a man, doesn't it?
It does. I am really bad at being a mother. I am pretty decent at being a father. So, yeah.
I have one of your coffee mugs, and the logo on the coffee mug is an axe in
right.
a log. Is there a significance to that?
Sure. Well, there's a couple different. One is a foster is a forester, right? So we cut down trees. So that idea of an axe of being connected to my family line is important to me. But there's one of my favorite drawings is this axe man. And he's on the top of a hill. He's resting on his axe, and he's looking over a forest. And just the idea of the work to be done, the harvest to be brought in. And then we also like to pull from Ecclesiastes, where it talks about how you want to keep your axe sharp. And so we're calling men to keep their axe sharp, to be committed to good work and building. So that's where that whole idea came from. It's kind of cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
you are a pastor.
Correct.
In Cincinnati?
Yes.
Okay. And this is not a religious event. How did a Christian pastor, a Reformed Presbyterian pastor, operate at a non-Christian event?
You know, the best part is, I mean, I've sat down with pickup artists, and I've talked to guys who told me that they've slept with over like 100 women in the last couple of years. And they've been very frank about how they don't think it's good. They don't think it's good for them. They don't think it's good for the women, and they're wanting to go a different direction. And it's pretty easy to operate as a Christian when you're surrounded by people that are very honest about where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to have a dialogue where it's not, there's no guile, there's very little show. And that's been the thing that's really stuck with me that was a little surprising. You know, you think of pickup artists, you think of like The Game and Neil Strauss and Mystery and all that's this big show, peacocking. And that's what I thought. And I thought that we'd have some guys walking around like that, and there's not very many at all.
Yeah.
Actually, most guys are very open, and that's we're at some sort of cultural moment right now where men are like, is this it? And I think that's what guys have found, like to get a woman in bed is not that hard. Right. It seems hard to people that grew up fatherless and are really clueless. But if those people apply themselves, they find that they can do it. And then it's not satisfying because that's not what man's made for. Right. Man is made for God, to serve God, to bring glory to God. And that's realized through building a family, building a household, have a legacy through the gifts and vocation God's given you. And you see that hunger for it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to just be straight up with people and talk about as fornication as sin and all that. And they're very open. So it has not been as hard as I imagined. It's been much easier.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Who did you connect with as far as the speakers are concerned? Who were you drawn to? Who did you have good conversation with? Who did you just naturally have good talks with?
I like Socrates a whole lot. He's very thoughtful. He's very well read. I met his lovely partner, his wife. I think it's his wife, but she's very sweet. And so I like him. I like that he's looking at things from kind of a bird's eye view and is mature about it. Tanner and I have a ton in common. It's like for everything that we don't have in common, we have something else very much in common.
Yes.
And so his keynote was really good. And him just talking about loving his son and Zach's passion for men. So all three of those guys, I've really enjoyed talking to. I haven't had really a negative experience here so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep texting my friends like, this is really strange. This is a really strange experience. It's not what I expected. I don't really know fully what I expected, but it wasn't this, you know?
Yeah. You and I both have been to men's retreats and men's Bible studies and breakfasts and things. Compare this to what you've experienced.
So what I think's going on, what I think the key difference, I've been chewing on this past weekend, is that people are coming here wanting to grow and change, or wanting to be exposed, right? So there's guys sitting through these different workshops wanting to know, how can I get in better shape? How can I lead my wife? Like, why do I feel so disconnected? All that, they're coming here with that mindset, with a lot of church conferences, sadly, people are coming there to display their mastery, which they may or may not have. And it creates a environment of almost dishonesty. And so Scripture would call it fear of man. And so it's here there's guys that maybe they're not motivated to get better for God's glory, but there still is a baseline honesty about where they're at.
Yeah.
I also think that Christianity has become overwhelmingly Gnostic, by which I mean that it diminishes the importance of the material. Gnostics thought that material was created by this lesser demiurge, and so Christianity a lot of times isn't very practical at all, and it doesn't care about the significance of the body. Well, that's not true here. Everyone is trying to be very practical. No matter what they're talking about, they'll end with steps of action. So everything's about moving forward and about growing. I'd like to see more of that at men's conferences. We should. Christians have the Bible. We have God's truth, and it's made to make us more like Jesus Christ, and it should be very practical. So I think that's the difference. I'd like to see men's conferences about not just weeping and moping and that sort of stuff, but at a place where you can be honest about where you're at, and that every year when you come back, you've grown more to God's glory in different areas. I'd like to see that. And you see guys here like, hey, look at you. You've lost all this weight. Look how amazing you look. Oh, you're looking sharp. And you see that guys are wanting to grow and improve. That's really good. You know, really good in a culture that's just trying to keep men from having a good, solid ambition, keep men lazy and slothful. That you don't find that here, and that's been really encouraging.
When I think of missionaries, I think of people being called and going to countries, Africa, China, sure, South America. I don't think about really specific demographics, but is there a possibility that you're a missionary to men while you're doing this?
Well, I'm one of them, right? I'm a bastard in the sense that I grew up without the loving discipline of a father. Mm-hmm. And as the baton, you know, manhood's a baton that's handed from one person to the next. And so when you're having children and you go to hand them the baton, you don't have much to hand them. Then you're like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And as I said in my speech, that we're often husbands and fathers before we've actually become mature men. And so so in that sense, I belong to this moment in culture where there's a lot of us fatherless guys. And through God's grace, I've had a lot of men come into my life and help me grow. Mm-hmm. And it has been all under the within a Christian worldview, right? It's motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I think I'm a missionary as much as I'm a brother, culturally speaking. I'm here, and I want them to see that, yeah, you can get a six-pack, and, yeah, you can get a beautiful woman and a wife, but ultimately to do the thing that will truly satisfy you is going to take God, right? It is going, you need to have your soul dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to be here. It's like, you know, usually when you're street preaching, you have hecklers, right? I don't have any hecklers, yeah, right? Yeah. Everyone's really respectful. It's all being laid on the table. So it's a wonderful opportunity, yeah, to share the gospel with guys like this and men that are, so it's thirsty, right? Mm-hmm. It's, mm-hmm, everyone's thirsty right here. They're ready for some water. And my Lord is the living water, right? The fount that if you drink from, you'll never thirst again. Mm-hmm. So I have that to offer, right? It's like Peter said to the beggar, he's like, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. Rise up and stand. Well, I don't, mm-hmm, have all this figured out. I'm leaving here wanting to get in better shape when I come back here next year. I will look different. I will have improved. But what I do have, I will give these men. And yeah, I know God's word, and I'll share with them the hope that they'll find it. And that's what I like, hope here. It's mostly about hope, and it's a dark, cynical time. So
it's a weekend of hope, isn't it?
It really is.
It's just,
yeah,
like 4 days of just rapid-fire, yeah, hope.
It's intense. You gotta go out in the hallway and like stretch your legs a little bit sometimes, like, yeah, midway through. You have to almost leave some of the speeches and come back in like, all right, I can do some more of this now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Let's shift gears. How does a guy get a girl?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest thing is that if you look at Scripture, that God makes Adam, gives Adam a mission, and he sticks him in the garden, And there's all these animals, and Adam looks at these animals. He's like, that's not going to do it. And then he makes him a helpmate. But the biggest thing that Adam had before he ever had a woman was a mission, right? A mission from God to be fruitful and multiply, to rule, reign, and subdue the earth. And so that's what we call the creation mandate, or sometimes the cultural mandate. I think the where guys need to start is they need to put the mission first. In Proverbs, it talks about before you build a house, you prep your field. Mm-hmm. And guys are building their house without prepping their field, which means the foundation is not good. Mm-hmm. And that's how someone can get married. And within the first, I had a good friend who married a woman. A lot of us warned him, but he was divorced within a year. Very painful experience to go through. He hadn't prepped his field. He didn't have a clear mission. He made the woman his mission. And women are looking for a man that is worthy of their love. And really, the way they see that is a man that has a worthy mission. And so I'd start like, hey guys, let's not start with the girl. That's how we get in a lot of trouble. That's how you become a husband and a father without being a man. Let's start with the mission. And so I think that's what I would say. It's like, what gifts have God given you that you can use to bring him glory, to bring his kingdom to bear? You know, you cut hair. I've worked in sales and business development. There's so many, those areas are ministries unto the Lord. And so I want to see a doctrine of vocation come back. There's this idea that being a pastor is above all those things, but when they're done for God's glory, they're all a ministry to the Lord. So I think, what are your gifts? Where are you going? And then start going there. And then you find a girl that you filter, right? You have these filters. She has to have the same mission. If you're a Christian, that means she has to be a Christian, or you're going to be going different directions. And you introduce her to her friends, because sometimes you're not the brightest at filtering. And like, what do you think about her? You know. And one of the guys here that was looking to get out of that sort of pickup artistry lifestyle told me that he met this good girl and he was thinking about getting a little more serious. And I had the privilege of meeting her. And afterwards, I told him, I was like, that's a lovely woman. If that sort of woman's into you, that's the direction you should go.
Yeah.
And so have some standards, have some filters. Don't get all cynical, weird, dread game stuff. If you have a mission that's worthy, a woman will come along. You develop gravitas. The way that the sun keeps the earth in place is that it has greater weight, greater glory, greater gravitas. The way a man will lead a woman is to have that gravitas. And too often the men are lazy and they haven't developed it. And the woman has more pull than they do. And the relationship, it doesn't work.
In 2017, Zach Small said, you need to invite her to be part of your mission. She is not your mission.
That's right. Mission first, brothers. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be your mission.
Yeah.
That's unfair to her. That's not what she's made to be. And that's the jerk thing, right? The jerk that doesn't care about her and is going to get on the motorcycle and drive away. The reason the woman likes that isn't that he's a jerk. It's just that he's going somewhere and he's going there with or without her. And she's, wait a second, that sounds like an adventure. I want to be part of that. Women, you know, this is what you realize as a husband. If you have a homekeeper, like my wife is, when you come home from work and she asks you about your day, you often don't want to tell her about it because you just experienced it. But what she's really asking is, what did we do today? Mm-hmm. Because she makes it possible for me to go out there and do that. And she's saying, what did we accomplish, right? How did you do? And I've learned to say, yeah, here's what we did. And I'm sharing with her the accomplishments I have, because they're not my accomplishments. They're our accomplishments. It's our household. And so it's not just enough to get the woman. You actually have to keep that mission, and you have to keep calling her back into it. So I would agree with Zach.
You spoke to a room of women.
Yes.
At the 22 convention, Make Women Great Again. Did you make women great again?
I did my part. Okay. I did what you could do in a couple of minutes. But yeah, I think those women, those particular women in that room, they were really warm and encouraging. You know, when you're a speaker or a preacher, you have to find the faces.
Yes.
There's some faces that are not very encouraging.
Yeah.
And sometimes people just don't know what they look like when they're listening. They look like they're mad, but it's their thinking face. When I looked out into that crowd, I mostly saw people shaking their head, and I don't know if it got onto the audio, but I heard a lot of women saying, yeah, that's right, you know? So that's promising, right? Well, men are made to be masculine. It's natural, right? Cats meow, dogs bark. Women are made to be feminine. This idea that the government and the feminine imperative, all this stuff can stop nature is not true. Water will find its level, and women are sick of being men, sick of being brash, and there is a turning around there as well. And so I found a very receptive audience by and large.
Did you find any speakers challenging, or did you learn something from anyone here? That do you possess some knowledge now, or did someone that you didn't have before you came, or did someone throw the gauntlet down for you?
Well, I was just in Phil Foster's talk, and I'm definitely going to have my hormones checked after listening. I was like, yeah, I think I should probably, I should do this and be on top of it. You know, it's irresponsible to have your wife always taking care of you. You need to go to the doctor, right? That's really your experience. Your body, or you're not your experience, your responsibility. Your body is the tool, right? And if scripture tells us we're to keep the axe sharp, well, the thing that swings that axe needs to stay strong as well.
Yeah.
And so listening to those guys talk about health, that was really helpful. I'd also say listening to Tanner talk about how they build kind of their family culture, that was helpful. We've been working on that in our family, but they say we're the, you know, what's how do you say guzzy, right?
Yeah.
I always say, we're the guzzies, we have fun, we do hard things. They have these things that they say. And we've been working on that. We always say, you know, Foster is committed to workmanship, strength, and wisdom. But just thinking through how can I disciple my kids better to have a stronger family culture that's centered on scripture and our mission. So all those things stirred me up, and I've taken a lot of notes. And I know I'm going to, you know how inspiration is, like when it hits you. Tonight and tomorrow I'll be recording a bunch of podcasts for the different podcasts I do just because,
sure,
like I've got content.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I've learned. I'm leaving with things. So.
And you have a minimum of a dozen guys that I think you could collab with somehow, some way.
Yeah, this is cool. I think I was thinking about trailblazing. This is kind of that, at least for the Reformed Presbyterian part of the world. Don't come here very much. You, yeah. I guess you beat me, but there's risk you take and mixing with people. And I think what a lot of Christians forget, like guys like Whitfield and Benjamin Franklin were pretty close friends.
Right.
And then the respect that people would have for like Aristotle or Socrates. And these are pagans. I don't agree with their view of the world at all. But the idea that we can't have these conversations with people that differ from us, and Calvin himself would talk about, hey, look, if the pagans have found something that's useful, use it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how I've come here, to learn from people, use what I can, because I think a lot of people are looking at God's world and they're seeing how God has designed and made it, and they're deducing those things and they're sharing with people. And so in that sense, they're sharing God's general revelation with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can benefit from that, and I intend to continue to do so. You know, you keep mixed company, you're going to make some people mad, but,
yeah.
You know, it's worth it, I think.
Yeah. So overall, was it a good experience for you?
Yeah. Yeah. It really has been a great experience. I got to talk to like Jack Donovan and to the late evening, and his book, The Way of Men, was an excellent book, one of the better books. And,
yes.
And I got to talk to him about things that, you know, I never thought I'd ever have that conversation. I've met some of the Fraternity of Excellence guys. Those guys are fantastic. It's a real brotherhood. And so it's like the best conferences. It's not just the talks, right? It's everything happens in between it.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, it's been really good. So, yeah.
Have there been any business or ministry ideas that sparked inside your head? Like
yeah.
You're thinking like, I think I want to do that when I get back home. I want to start something. Is there any?
I would say just there's a lot of things. So what's happened is there's waves that come in that has stripped away common knowledge, and the Wave keeps doing that for the last several decades, and you start to realize things that have been very helpful to me, I'll share them, not thinking that it's like some sort of helpful life lesson. And I'll watch someone's eyes light up. Oh, that's so helpful. I never mm-hmm. thought of that. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, if that's helpful to them, I want to be helpful to other people. So there's like when that's happened, I've written that down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I need to research that. There's been a lot of talk, very interesting, about people's relationships with their mothers. And a lot of guys have been, you know, Jesse was pushing that issue hard. And it provoked a pretty intense response in some of the men. Mm-hmm. And so I've already started thinking about that more, because I think about things. Society does rise and fall with men, but women are powerful too. And what happens when you remove fathers? Well, then a woman's left in a place where she's going to be something she probably ought not be. And so I want to understand that better. That's certainly a topic that I'll be exploring more just personally, and it'll almost certainly turn into blog posts and podcasts and all that. So, yeah.
You are writing a book. Tell us about that.
I am. Me and my co-author, Dominic Non-Tennant, he's writing it with me. It's going to be published by Canon Press in theory next year. I've got 2 months left to finish this thing. We've got, I don't know, 35,000, 40,000 words, just moving things around, mm-hmm. making sense. So it is really kind of a summation of some of the stuff I talked about here, or expansion. Why are we at where we're at as a culture? What's the spiritual background? So how do we lose masculinity? How do we regain it? And it's all a very biblical view, but written in such a way that I think just about anyone could enter into it and be blessed by it. So there's a lot of big ideas, but we also have tried to translate it into things that can be applied into your life. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to have a publisher like Canon Press that's willing to roll the dice on us.
If you were going to write a review for the 21 convention, what would you say? What kind of blurb would you write?
That's a good one. I would say stirring practical talks, good food, and great fellowship. I mean, it sounds corny, but that's what it is. It's guys hanging out. How can I be a better man? Not how can I be macho, right? Like, we can create a distinction between macho and truly manly.
Yeah.
These are guys that are trying to be excellent. So if you want to be, if you want to grow as a man in your finances, in your physique, and thankfully now, also spiritually, this is a place that you can start to do that.
Did you see any toxic masculinity here this weekend?
No, not very much. There's some people that's kind of into MGTOW stuff. I don't have much patience for that.
Yeah.
But that's really, again, like I said, the after note
yeah.
was very positive.
Yeah.
And even those guys that are MGTOW leaning, it wasn't like hating on women. It was more practical, and they're yeah. cheerful guys. So I don't think anyone would think of that as like toxic masculinity, as in this sort of the He-Man women hater club sort mm-hmm. of stuff. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, yeah. What is the opposite of toxic?
Natural, right? I guess. I haven't thought about it. You know, toxic is a word that we use that we really should just remove from our vocabulary. You're either a man, I would say you're a man or you're not, right? You're a man or you're effeminate. And that's the words that Scripture likes to use for it. And effeminate is when a man takes on the posture and tendency of a woman. And that's ugly. Right? Men are not good at being women. And so I think these women, when they see healthy masculinity, some of these women out in the world, these women that have been brainwashed and trained by feminism, they are scared of that because they see the power, right, of a man. And that scares them, and they have to label it something because they don't understand it. But it's really just natural masculinity, and strong men, strong, dangerous men that can be dangerous, are the sort of men we need. And we were talking about when you go through the airport, you see how terribly out of shape America is, not just a little bit, you know, but like truly like crazy obese mm-hmm. and little arms and everything, and that they can't defend their family, mm-hmm. not physically. And that's kind of a metaphor for their life a lot of times. These are guys that are looking at pornography all the time. Their finances are a wreck. That's toxic masculinity, because that's effeminacy in the sense that the core of masculinity is taking responsibilities for others, to provide, to protect, to lead. And if you won't lead yourself, then how can you lead others? You can't give people something you don't have. And so toxic masculinity is just effeminacy. That's all it is.
If you can't lead yourself, you can't lead others. A great conversation with Michael Foster. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.